as well as the legislative bodies of the regime. In 1802, Napoleon had himself elected consul for life. And in a step that was really quite remarkable and was a preview of the way Napoleon wanted to reign, this step, the step of having himself appointed consul for life, was to be ratified by a national plebiscite. The people were now called in to vote to ratify the step taken by the regime, taken by Napoleon. The outcome of the vote is interesting to see. The vote, the actual numbers were 3,568,885 in favor, 8,374 against. One might suspect that there was a certain amount of manipulation and influence brought to bear on the outcome, but Napoleon was quite clearly very, very popular in France at this time. In 1804, he used a trumped-up royalist plot to declare himself emperor. He claimed that there was a conspiracy to return the Bourbon monarchy, to overthrow the revolution. Napoleon constantly talked about the revolution, even the republic at times, and saw the great danger. He always tried to present himself, on the one hand, a military man, a man of affairs, a pragmatist in some ways, but also was the legitimate heir of the revolution. And so a threat from the royalists, a conspiracy to overthrow the revolution, was used as the pretext to declare himself emperor. He proclaimed the empire, he said, in order to save France from a Bourbon restoration. Once again, in 1804, this step was ratified by a plebiscite. New constitutional arrangements as well, ratified by plebiscite, and in the first line of this new constitutional document, the document for the empire, read, "The government of the republic is entrusted to an emperor." Close quote. It's very interesting. What's interesting here are the resonances of the old Roman Empire. One thinks of Augustus, who constantly talked about maintaining the republic, that he was only a caretaker and so on. And one sees a lot of that same verbiage, a lot of that same imagery coming to bear here in this French empire. Well, what sort of empire was this? What sort of state was this to be? Was it, as Napoleon claimed, was he, as Napoleon claimed, the legitimate heir of the revolution? Or was he, as his critics certainly claimed, simply a military tyrant, reminiscent of the worst aspects of the Roman Empire? Or was he, as some have suggested, really the ultimate enlightened absolutist in the tradition of Frederick the Great of Prussia? And finally, one alternative I think that we should bear in mind is, does his regime represent a really uniquely new political synthesis of both democratic forms and authoritarian controls? To answer these questions, we need to turn to the basic elements of the regime itself, its constitution, its administration, the domestic achievements of the regime. The Constitution of 1799 had been based on universal suffrage. In this sense, it's consistent with the Revolution, the Great Revolution. But elections were very indirect, indeed very, very indirect, so that there was universal suffrage to elect electors who would then elect a final legislature. This was the usual kind of compromise solution of, on the one hand, involving the population, universal male suffrage, but constructing a system where their influence is indirect. The use of the plebiscite was novel and apparently democratic. It gave Napoleon's regime a patina not only of democracy, but of radical democracy, almost the general will speaking through the plebiscites. If one thinks about the periods, you think about 1799, 1800, 1801, and look around Europe, this is absolutely a remarkable sort of phenomenon of going directly to the people to say yay or nay to major matters of state. Napoleon also insisted upon the codification of law. The Napoleonic Code, of course, would become one of the great achievements of his regime. And that Napoleonic Code would not only be implemented in France, but would be carried to the occupied countries of Europe by the French armies.